this. How many of you remember where you were September 11th, 2001? Yeah, I do. When you heard about the attacks, September 11th, 2001, where were you? I was getting ready for a Bible study at church. Most of us can remember that very moment in our lives. Why do we remember that very moment? We remember that moment because of the uncertainty, because that had never happened before. It was instantaneously ingrained in our minds. You can even go further back to certain things in your world that changed over time. I remember my great grandmother packing away food that she had, you know, canned in the 1970s and was holding on to that in, you know, almost the middle 2000s. Why? Because she remembered the Great Depression. She remembered all of that stuff. I would never have touched that food, I could tell you that. Okay. But, and it was pretty nasty when we threw it out, but that came from a generation that had lost everything. And that uncertainty made them live differently. The same uncertainty that happened on September 11th made people live differently. It did. If you remember the very next Sunday, what happened? People were flocking to something. They didn't quite know what it was, but they wanted something different. They wanted something that they recognized that something had changed in their life and they needed something different. So it led them to the church where they would seek for answers, searching for some sort of reasoning behind what had happened. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, they're gone. You ever stop and wonder why that was? See, for me, being in the ministry role, I had to evaluate that. And I had to be honest with myself and say, you know why? Because we weren't prepared for it. We were not prepared for them to come in masses to the churches. And that's on us. So you have that change, but then you also have some other changes. Church has even changed today, right? Hey, in case you didn't know, we're in the middle of some sort of pandemic, okay? Right? So church has changed again. How many of you thought in this day and age today that we would have all of those followers on Facebook, people watching our videos, people following us on Facebook, YouTube? How many thought we'd have a YouTube channel? You know, the day that I came here, we had 30 followers on Facebook, 30 friends. The young crowd's like, wow, how's that even happen? You know, I mean, surely you got like 30 people in your family. I mean, you know, even our own family didn't like us. You know, it's kind of the way it worked, you know. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then all of a sudden, the pandemic hit. We had to make some changes, and it just kind of took off from there. Today, we average anywhere from 400 to 1,000 views on Facebook and YouTube. Do you realize that? That's huge, isn't it? And yet, it's different. You can watch church now on your TV, like the days of old, you know, seeing Billy Graham and all those on the TV. You know. You can watch church on the internet. You can sit in your pajamas and just watch church happen. I think that's what we need to do next Sunday. Everybody just wear their pajamas coming to church. Okay? No? Okay. in case you've missed it, not only have these transitions taken place, but in so many different circles, there's this idea of almost a disdain in some circles for anything church, anything Christian, I should say. Hatred towards the church is growing. They don't care about the church. The world in which we live, outside of our Christian bubbles, could care less about what happens on a Sunday morning. They could care less about who we sing out to. They could care less about who we teach. They could care less about what we preach, because it's all meaningless to them. In case you missed it, our world has a negative view of church. It's just the way it is. At least until some sort of catastrophe happens, or any issue surfaces in life. I think in general, people just don't really want to go to church anymore. How many of you remember the church of the 50s? A couple of you? There you go. There are some people raising their hands, the reluctant ones. How about the 60s? 70s, 80s, 90s. Okay. Yeah, just a little bit. It's okay. It's changed since then, hasn't it? It's all different. So, in order for us to engage that culture shift and the way that the paradigm has changed and shifted, how do we maintain a connected view to our culture and to our world? That's the question. So that's why I think it's important for us to look at our church. I think it's important for us to look at all of the things that we do and look at the world in a real sense and figure out and consider how what we do here has become unchristian. Like that guy on the rooftop, that had absolutely nothing to do with Christian. It had everything to do with him. Has church become this thing about our preferences? Sure it has. If we are honest with ourselves, that's exactly why we have so many different churches today. It's about our preferences, about what we believe to be exciting or real or authentic is a favorite word they use today. It's about us. It's about our choices and not so much about truth or engaging our culture or reaching out to people. Is it possible for the church to be too churchy? Sure it is. There's some hymnals, I think. Do you guys have hymnals? No? Oh, they're in the back? Okay. See? I don't know. I was going to use it as an illustration. You could turn to your favorite hymn and you can see the language that's in those hymns and the songs that we sang today. It's Christianese. It is church language. It's different, but it means something. How many of you remember, "Come, thou fount of every blessing"? What does that even mean? See, in my language, I'm lost in that. For some of you who remember the 50s, 60s, 70s church, that means something. So how do we take your experience and my experience and merge those together and engage a culture and change it for Christ? That's what we have to do. See, that's why I say it's important for us to understand that sometimes church budgets, processes, and goals, all of that gets in the way of truly just simply worshiping God. When we make it about stuff, about these four walls, what are we doing? Church, in all honesty, and it's probably more so today, can be one of the most segregated things in your life. And now we have a 6-foot radius, right? Or we have to add that to it. I think the problem with churches in our culture today is that it's so much about ourselves, about our problems, our struggles, instead of looking at the totality of what Christ is trying to tell us to do. I think I've told this story before, but one of the frustrating things for me is going to a church and just quickly recognizing how much they focus on themselves. You want to know how we do it? Jan and I moved to Lincoln, Illinois, and I was a teaching assistant and going through my Master's of Divinity program at Lincoln Christian University, and we had kids, so we wanted to continue our church experience, obviously, off of campus. We didn't really want to partake in the campus ministry. That was for younger students. I'm a little bit older than the average student, just a little bit older. So we decided to go to a large church in town. After 8 weeks of attending this church, not one person had spoken to us. 8 weeks we had gone to that church. Not one person had spoken to us. It was the most unchristian experience I have ever had in my entire life as a Christian. Not one person invited us to supper. Not one person even hinted that they liked us being in their building. Finally, on the 9th Sunday that we visited, this little old lady in the row in front of us, she was there all 9 weeks. She turns around to us. She finally shook our hand. That's back in the day when you could actually shake hands and hug. Yeah. She shook our hands and she said, "So, you're the ones that took my seat." Okay. She turns right back around, the music starts, and they go to worship. Not even an acknowledgement of her name or anything. We quickly realized that this church wasn't for us. See, the problem today is that our world has disengaged from all things Christian. They have somehow embraced their own self-help style, their own things, their own way of going about it, and the church has disengaged from all things in the name of maintaining what they have. That's completely the opposite of what the church in Acts tells us to be and to do. Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. I used this last week as a springboard to get ready for this, but here's my thought. First of all, what will it take for Christians to reconnect with and engage with our culture? I believe that our pandemic has helped us in that arena because it's forced us to go online. It's forced us to change the policy that says when we open the doors, you're free to come if you want to. Now we have to put this out there for people to see and to experience. We have to challenge them with the love of Christ. How many of you work outside this facility in town? Okay. You have a job, right? You realize that's part of your culture, right? How many of you go to school? When there's not a pandemic on, obviously. Okay. couple of you. But at what point does your Christianity begin to engage where you work and where you go to school, where you eat, all of the things that you do in your culture? See, in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, we read it last week, and I'll post it along with the video. But the apostles actually began devoting themselves to something. It wasn't to the four walls of the church. It wasn't to any Bible study. It was devoted to teaching those teachings about Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I think that if we are not set apart in our culture in this day and age, we're missing an opportunity. We should be breaking bread, as they say in the text. We should be all about prayer. We should be about fellowship, as those are the true marks of a devoted Christian life. Christians must reconnect with and engage our world by strong Christian families. We need to be strong Christian families. Verse 44 of Acts chapter 2. They were not just connected to some building. They were not just connected to something because it was the place to be. They were connected and they enjoyed spending time together. They enjoyed being together. They actually were concerned about one another. Now, apart from the person that you're sitting next to, okay, can you say that you truly enjoy the company of those around you? That's why I said apart from the people sitting next to you, okay? All right. Let me ask you this. Do you know everyone in this room? No. What about the people behind you? Do you know them? Okay. Have you invited people out to get to know them? Have you spent time talking with them? Okay, let's be honest, okay? We live in a culture today that says, I'm going to continue to engage, even though there's a pandemic on, and I'm going to go out and eat. But yet, for somehow, Sunday morning, I can't get up. Right? That's the culture in which we live. So what do we do with that? How do we operate in the midst of that? I know it's difficult to ask someone to go out and eat or get to know them or spend quality time with them because of what's going on in our world. But there's a way to do that. And I think if we're not committed to being strong Christian families, if we're not devoted to the teachings of Christ, then we're missing the opportunity to become and maintain a Christian life. Christians, I think we must reconnect and engage with our world by being committed to the church. Verses 45 through 46, what does it say? That they sold everything. They were doing all that they could do by selling land and property, and they were giving to people as the needs arose. They were actually meeting the needs of people. They were sold out. They were given everything they had. Here's the difference. They were sold out for Christ. They didn't care what people thought of them. They didn't care what others had. They lived an engaged life that drew people to Christ. See, it's so much more than attendance. And it's so much more of wooden pew versus chair. It's so much more than just that. They sold things, gave it away. That's great. How many of you remember passing those attendance books in church. Yeah, they'd run them down the aisles, and you'd pass them along, and put a check mark by your name. All right? Said you were at church that day. You got credit. All right? If Jesus came back that day, you were golden. All right? Well, I mean, that's just the way we usually think of it. But here's the reality. They were not there just for the check mark. They were there to connect. That's just the way it was. So, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Young folks listening, young folks in the congregation, you know, go home, sell your Xbox, sell your PlayStation, sell your TV, trade in your phone, okay, and sell it and give away the money, right? That's not what they're talking about. Sounds great for us adults, right? Maybe they'd get their homework done. But that's the theory, but in practice, that's not going to work. Because you see, it's not about the stuff. It's about what God has blessed us with that we can use in service to Him. See, Christians in the biblical times, in the book of Acts, they were so sold out to what and for God was doing in their life. They were so involved. Those people, there are some that wear their faith like a trophy. There are some Barnabases in here that just pray and pray and pray. There are some in here that spend quality time with people. There's so many people in here that give of themselves each and every day. And it's a blessing just to know how much you care about your faith, about how much you care about others, and the desire to bring others into a relationship with Christ. I know this. I see it every day. But my fear is that you don't get to experience that. Just know that it's real. Central Park has some of the most amazing men and women who are committed to serving Christ above all else. That's powerful. But you know what they've said? They said it doesn't matter what medium, what form, what we do, the only thing that matters is the message that we send. And ladies and gentlemen, here is the message. Jesus Christ loves you. That's what we want you to know. We want you to know that no matter what you've done, no matter how disengaged, no matter how unchristian you have been living in your life, that makes no difference today, because if you have accepted Jesus Christ, His body, His blood that was given for you on the cross, you have eternal life. You have forgiveness that only comes through knowing Jesus Christ. All of that stuff yesterday is gone. All of that pain, all of those problems, all of those struggles are gone. If you know Jesus Christ today. I think Christians have a problem. Right? Here's the problem. We don't know how to have fun. Some of you have hobbies. Some of you enjoy those things. But what does it mean to truly come into this place and have fun? And enjoy our faith. Christians, I have met some of the most boring, annoying, troublesome, worrisome Christians in my entire life. Here's the struggle with that. We should be enjoying life. You should be living it as a success. It is a story of how God loves you beyond all measure, how He's taken you from all of that sin, all of that pain, all of that sorrow and that struggle. He's lifted you up out of that mud, out of the mire, out of that mess that was your life. And He's saying, here is something new. But yet we're still living in this. Because we're so tied down to it that we're missing the opportunity to just simply sit back and smile and enjoy life together. As Christians, we must enjoy life together. Look at the first part of verse 47. That's exactly what it says. Christians must also live like there's no tomorrow. How many of you know that you have a tomorrow? No one. We don't know if tomorrow's coming or not, but we know this, that with Christ, all things are possible. Christ loves us through this. And we live for today. And we enjoy our life. And we do one more thing. We grow spiritually and, yes, ultimately numerically. I don't know about you, but I think what's going to draw people to our faith is irresistible lives, enjoying life, and growing in our faith. If you haven't noticed, the sign says transformed by Christ to transform the world, right? That's what it says outside. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 is our text for next week, and we'll kind of pick it up there. But here's the point, and I'll close with this. We're running a little bit behind. As a church, I think we have the opportunity to either sit back and beg for the spare change that this world throws at us, or we can go out into our world and tell about the love of Jesus Christ. We can see people healed by His name. We can see people restored by His power. We can see people being fed in His name. We can win souls for Jesus Christ. And eventually, I think one day we're going to sit by that gate that is called beautiful, and we're going to watch and just enjoy the results. This world, whether you realize it or not, or whether they realize it or not, they need faith. They need hope. To do anything less than be the church that Christ has called us to be, that's just simply unchristian. Let's pray. Father God, we seek to engage our culture today with the simple message that Jesus loves them beyond measure, that Jesus gave of Himself that we might have life everlasting. The message of Christ encourages us and compels us to be devoted to the teachings, to the breaking of bread, to prayer and to fellowship together. Our world is in some strange, strange times today. And we are continually being inundated by the ideas of this culture that simply say, we don't need that today. We don't need the church. We don't need faith. But Father, we know that to not be true. We understand today the power that Jesus Christ brings into our lives. The way that He changes us, heals us, restores us, removes us from all of that sin and that shame. Sets us up on high. And walks with us. We may not understand it all. We may not have it all together, and that's okay. But we're different. We're seeking to grow, to reconnect with You, to live, to grow, and to serve. Father, change us today. Challenge us. And help us to follow You each and every day of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.